start your engines!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
AJ Allmendinger and Tyler Reddick put up their claim for the title King of the Road, and now we go short for 3 weeks. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters. We'll be this week, Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and Jerry Jordan from KickingTheTires.net.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Chris and Jerry here. Jerry's still hanging out in Texas. He's not leaving.
No, I'll be there this weekend.
There you go. All right.
I thought he was going to Richmond this weekend.
So I said, I'll be there this weekend.
Oh, Richmond or Texas?
Yeah.
Richmond.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know, I'm in Texas this weekend.
That's what I thought.
I'm in Austin. I was in Austin, and I'm in my office now.
Oh, okay. Where his traveling office.
Yeah.
We know that.
I thought we were going to be there, Brett, though, for a couple of days, the way that the end of that race was looking like.
A few more caution flags, we would have been there still. I tell you, you know what? People are all upset about the way that race finished.
No way.
I thought it was entertaining.
It was.
Could we have had a little less carnage at the end? Yeah,
sure.
Probably. But hey, I thought it was an entertaining show.
This is what the Cup Series has become accustomed to on the road courses, is wham, bam, thank you. You know, just like, you know, it's the best drivers. Look, when there is playoff points and points on the line, they're going to take, you give them an inch and they'll take a mile, right? So I have no problem. Yeah, like, did I want to see three overtime restarts? No. Did I want to see one overtime restart? Yes. But I'm fine with the way the race played out. Ultimately, Brett, as far as I'm concerned, the right man won the race, and that was Tyler Reddick, because he was the man that everybody was chasing on Sunday. So I don't care if we had three overtime restarts or 20 overtime restarts. Tyler Reddick was going to win that race.
What do you think, Jerry? Are you happy with the way it finished?
I loved it. I loved the race. I thought it was awesome. And, you know, any racing in Texas is awesome to me. But no. You know, three overtimes, I was at one point like, is this how many we have? Do we have that cutoff, or do we continue to go? I couldn't remember, and I actually had to ask somebody about it.
Apparently, Kurt Busch couldn't remember either.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, it was a great race. And I looked at the monitors as Tyler was driving away. I'm like, what does he have under the hood of that car? Why is he so fast? He hooked up and ran away from them.
But he wasn't the fastest guy on Sunday, though. You know, he definitely had his challengers in that race. And William Byron, I know his car wasn't the best, and he kind of got bruised around there at the end of the race. But I'm telling you, him and Tyler Reddick, William Byron and Tyler Reddick, they put on one heck of a show for the fans. And it wasn't, you know, we were concerned, or I wouldn't say concerned, but there was chatter about if we would have these stage breaks, not having, you know, we would have the end of the stages, but not throwing a caution at the end of these stages. If we would have people just walk away from the race, right? We see the field spread out for like 15, 20 seconds. Yeah, the field got spread out, but I'm telling you what, would you have like three or four guys at the end of their race that were mathematically still had a shot to contend for the win before the caution even waved? So I think all things considered, it worked out just fine.
Yeah, Jerry, I think, I mean, to your point, yeah. But the thing is, I mean, before the race, and Denny Hamlin had said it during his availability over the weekend, he said, look, I got on the simulator after Reddick, and I tried to duplicate his line, and I couldn't do it. And I was talking to Reddick before the race, and I said, you know, it's kind of like years ago when David Pearson was winning pole after pole after pole at Darlington, and nobody could figure out how he was doing it. And in fact, he was just running a completely different line than everybody else, and it was working for him. But other guys try to run Reddick's line at COTA, and they couldn't. And I don't know if he's even aware he's doing something different for everybody else, but it works for him.
When you're comfortable behind the race car, behind the steering wheel in a race car, you can go fast. When you like the track, you can go fast. There's a lot of variables that play into this, and we've heard different drivers and different crew chiefs say, look, we know that if our driver likes the track, if our driver likes the way the car feels, that spot's on the racetrack. And with Tyler Reddick, he liked the way his car felt. He likes the track, and he was definitely fast. I wasn't, I'll be honest. I was thinking that he and Byron would end up taking each other out, and you know, Bowman might come up or one of the other drivers. Kyle Busch had the best play of the day. I mean, he stayed out, gets up there, and gets a strong finish. I don't remember his name being in the mix most of the day, but I was, you know, doing other stuff, taking photos around the track, and you know, that was a strong call for them to stay out and you know, make that run.
The most influential thing this weekend that I found out, Brad. Or, you know, Brett from coming, excuse me, Brett coming from, was coming from your PRN cohort, Alan Kavanagh, when he was talking to Tyler after the race, and Tyler Reddick had credited his win to his 2311 e-racing teammate, Keegan Leahy, who had spent the week testing at COTA on the iRacing sim. And he said that Keegan had found a line that Tyler was able to adapt inside the race car. And that's what gave him the benefit of being able to have such a strong, strong car and basically a line that even his car owner, Denny Hamlin, couldn't commit. So I couldn't believe that, like, now we're seeing e-racing come into the fold and actually having an impact on these races on the racetrack. And when Tyler Reddick credited his 2311 racing teammate. Yeah, he's not a teammate on the real world, but he's a teammate in the virtual world, and I thought that was really interesting.
Well, and another thing that, you know, I didn't realize until I was interviewing him in Victory Lane, his cool suit had crapped out
yes.
at the very beginning of the race, Jerry.
Not and, on pit road.
And that's the thing. When these things die, you're basically the cold air you're supposed to be circulating, the cold water circulating, all you're doing now is boiling the water instead. And that's... Man, that's just nasty, Jerry.
Yeah, I think that happened to a couple of people. Actually, Jenson Button had the same issue. It wasn't hot in Texas. That's what, you know, it was hot in the cars and stuff like that, but it was like 80 to 85 degrees. For Texans, that's not hot. For guys from, you know, other parts of the country that aren't used to that, it's a humidity thing. It's a, yeah. There's a whole lot of factors that play into it. But in the car, it's 140 plus, 150 plus degrees. And those drivers, they, you know, talked to several of them, and they're wiped out after that race.
From my understanding, Jenson Button didn't have a cool shirt failure. He just got fatigued because, right, he's used to running in a race car where he has, you know, he's not in a close cockpit like you are in a stock car. In the Formula One cars, he had some air that was getting in. It just got so hot in that race car. And remember, this was the first time that he had ever driven one of these next gen cars, and they are hot. It's not the first time that we've heard that these cars are hot. And so, but I give credit to Jenson Button for doing a good job for Rick Ware Racing and Stuart Haas Racing, because he said twice there was times where he was so consumed by being overheated inside that race car that he actually considered going to the garage and getting himself hydrated again where he could finish the race. But he withstood the heat, withstood the challenges, and was able to complete the race. So but Jerry's right. The temperatures were not exceptionally hot by Texas standard, but I think that we realize that it's especially really still hot in these race cars.
Well, and you know, I know I was out there Saturday and Sunday on pit road. Saturday was hotter than Sunday, but yes. It's still... It's that first time of the year that when you're out there and, you know, low 80s on Saturday, it just seemed hotter than it was because it was the first time this year that we'd been out in that kind of heat. Not that it's oppressive heat, Jerry, but it's just hot. And I think your body, it takes a couple times to adapt to it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as you pointed out, it is the first time of to see those temperatures rise this year. You know, it's going to get worse as the season goes on. And, you know, I'm wondering what the Chicago street course race is going to be like, you know, going down the road. So, you know, there's several races that are coming up that some of these guys that are not used to running in the Cup Series, they're going to feel it again. It's going to be probably even worse.
Jensen better, you know, if he thinks that the COTA was hot, he's got another thing coming. When you go to Chicago in July and then you go to Indianapolis in August, maybe he'll get a little bit of a break at August in Indy, because that's kind of either hit or miss. It's either really hot or really cold that time of the year, because we're getting ready for fall to cycle in. But, you know, they've got to do something, you know, and I think maybe something, you know, I was asked by a fan on Twitter is, do we need to run the can these next gen cars run without a side window in the car? Because I believe those, you know, they had side windows in those cars, and we become too accustomed on short tracks and road courses of not having that side window. If we open up that side window in that next gen car, is that going to bring enough air where it makes it doable for those drivers? Because if a guy like a Formula One champion like Jensen Button is getting hot, you just have to wonder how hot was like Denny Hamlin and Harvick and those guys.
Yeah, before we take a break, I want to give some kudos to the 2311 pit crew. You know, these guys have brought this pit crew in-house this year, making the change, Chris, from what they had using Joe Gibbs guys,
yeah,
brought in their own guys. They absolutely, on the last two pit stops for Tyler Reddick, were absolutely flawless and money. 11.4 seconds on the second to last one, 10.4 seconds on the last one, and got him out in the track position he needed to stay up front.
Yeah, I think it's kudos to the management at 2311, right? They realized there was a problem, and they went out and they scoped out people outside of the Toyota camp, even if you will, you know, right? I think it's amazing. I know that one of the team members in particular, Wade Moore, who's a tire carrier over there, who's also the president of AM Racing, he was ecstatic working in even still, he was new working with a brand new bunch of people. But I think it's killer to see a pit crew come together like that, because they come from way outside different circles, and for them to gel as quickly as they have been able to. And Brett, you know this, how many times have we seen the pit crews be the deciding factor on whether or not a driver wins a race or not?
Yeah, and Sunday, he certainly was, because they, you know, as many times, and he pitted more than anybody else, I think, Jerry, and they paid huge dividends for him.
Absolutely, and you know, one thing that I do like about the 2311 guys having their own pit crew, we've seen in the past when you're renting a pit crew from someone, you know, they might pick and choose if they've got a driver or a team that's doing well, or you know, they want to get with Joe Gibbs Racing specifically, they want to get that they'll start making changes, so to speak, and start pulling a guy from here. They have a dedicated pit crew now at 2311 that won't be pulled apart, won't be, you know, manipulated or anything during a playoff run or anything like that. And that is further, you know, assurances for the driver and the crew chief that the management, the team, has that faith in them to go out there and get them their own pit crews and lock them down for the entire season.
And they went outside the wheelhouse, right? And they were willing to spend big money to bring in top guys in order to prove, because they knew that the one probably missing ingredient over 2311 was their pit stops. And even that 23 crew, I know Bubba had a bad day on Sunday, but even the 23 crew has had solid stops all this year. So I think the major problem that 2311 faced in 2022 is no longer a problem in 2023.
When we come back, we touched on it a little bit, but this is the first time in years NASCAR ran races without stage break stops. We'll see what these guys thought about how that worked out. Stay with us.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-807-1981. 800-807-1981. 800-807-1981. That's 800-807-1981.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit goprn.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Speedway Children's Charities was really started out of a really sad time in life for our family. My young brother died as an infant, and you know, out of that pain came the desire for my parents to do something to help children. My mom and dad weren't really happy with just giving money to an organization. They really wanted to be more hands-on and see that, you know, every dollar was put to the best use.
We take charities that otherwise may not get the attention from other donors and we provide funds to them.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Visit SpeedwayCharities.org.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and Jerry Jordan from KickingTheTires.net. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Jerry, it was the first time in ages. You know, it turned out maybe I've just been covering the sport for too long, or just I'm old. It didn't seem like it had been that long since we had had races without stage break stops. But then I hear guys like Austin Cindric say he had never run a National Series race without a stop for stage break. So I'm going, has it really been that long? Well, it had been. 2017, 6 years or so. So we had a race at COTA, and we're going to have more this year without a stop at a stage break. What did you think?
I thought it worked out fine. I really did. We may end up having a situation where we have a race with no caution at all at a road course coming up, but it's going to be hard. Unless someone just gets away and the whole field gets strung out, I don't see how we don't have it. Plus, things break. We saw one of the cautions came out because there was so much dirt on the track because of where they were cutting the corner at. So, you know, when you look at that, I think if you don't have stage cautions, I think that if you've got cars spinning out because there's debris on the track, NASCAR's going to throw that caution, and that's going to bunch that field back up. As far as it being so long ago, you got to remember some of these drivers, they're pretty young.
Yeah, don't remind me. It's bad enough as it is, Jerry. Come on. Chris, what did you think?
I was a little apprehensive going into the weekend, knowing what was going to happen. I wasn't for it going in. I left COTA on Sunday feeling a little bit better than I did going into the race day. I was worried that the fans were going to be without the drama meter that they felt like that they probably deserved, that or that the stage breaks had created over the last several years. But at the end of the day, that still came to fruition. I think Jerry's right where it's possible it cannot happen. I think that there's going to be circumstances that we see with traditional road course racing is somebody's going to do something to cause a late race caution and it'd probably stack up. But here's the thing, like the flow of the race, I felt like without the stage breaks, kept the race motoring right along. Right. And obviously I was concerned that by having, you know, I heard several drivers say, be careful what you wish for with not having these stage breaks. But I felt like as far as the field concerned, we still had racing at the front, the middle and the back of the field. And I think that was a kudos for the whole sport to have that on Sunday.
Well, and what it did bring back, and I think this was part of the intent, it brought back, Jerry, some of the strategy that went into planning in these road course races. You know, we used to talk about it, road course races. You know, they used to plan the race backwards where, you know, you wanted to be the first guy to pit last. And we had a lot of strategy. We had teams that were going to try to make it on a two-stop strategy. We had teams, Reddick was pitting frequently. You know, he was going to make it a three or four stop race and keep, you know, fresh tires on the car. So, I mean, we had these differing strategies that were all going to kind of come together at some point in time. We were going to find out who had the best strategy. Didn't work out that way because of the way the cautions ended up falling at the end of the race and everybody ended up coming in. But I think that brings some drama back into the whole thing.
It definitely does. I will say this. It was confused for me. I'm sitting there and I'm trying to think, okay, stage one, I wasn't, you know, keeping track of when the stages were supposed to end. So I was like, oh, wait, and I tweeted one time, you know, stage, you know, one was over and I said it was still stage one. And that's because I wasn't paying attention and, you know, didn't and kind of got caught up in the race itself. So, I think we could do better on making sure that we know what those laps are, but as far as the action on the track, it didn't seem to affect it. The drivers still, you know, wanted their stage wins, and it's one of those stage points, and you heard about it over the radio a little bit with drivers, you know, some of the top drivers saying, hey, their crew chiefs, you know, where are we at? What do we need? What, how many spots do we need to get to in order to get those points?
I think, and the other thing it has the potential to do now, I think because of the late cautions, it didn't do, but it has a chance to actually shorten the race time-wise on, you know, as far as time, you know, time on the clock.
Yep.
Not because, at
Coda. Well, it's because you had all the late cautions. But you think about what happens when a caution comes out, and we saw it at the end of the race. Caution comes out. You got to wait for the caution car to pick up the field. That's one lap. Then the next lap, even if they do a quickie caution, you got to leave them. That gives them a lap that they the pit. Then they got to come around after that. And then you go back one more time, and that's when they give them the one to go and the choose. I mean, at a place like Coda, that's, you know, you're running normally at normal speed, you're running 2 minute and 15 second laps. Now all of a sudden you run laps at that speed. Now these are like 7 minute laps.
Yep.
And a caution period all of a sudden is 20 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that the idea behind eliminating the cautions at the end of the stage break was to shorten the timing of the race. I think the purpose of it was to bring strategy back into the play, which we saw plenty of. And I thought it was great. Like, I was like, what the heck is Kyle Busch doing pitting so late in the stage three?
They were already a lap and a half short on fuel.
Yeah, but look at how the strategy played right into their wheelhouse, and Kyle Busch ended up with the second place finish. So that was the kind of strategy that we hadn't seen on a road course in a long time. And that was the fun kind of thing. But you're right, Brett. I think it's going to, you know, while it didn't work out like it was supposed to as far as timing-wise or the length of the race on Sunday, I'm going to be curious if we go into the likes of Sonoma, Watkins Glen, Indy, and even the Roval. And the Roval is what I'm most curious about, right? Because Roval comes during the most opportune time, and that's playoffs. So I am very curious on how no cautions at the end of these stages during the Roval in October here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, how that's all going to pan out.
Yeah, it's been interesting, Jerry, that you know, we feel like the rule change to the double file restarts really gave road course racing just a great boost. And then the rule change to go to stage racing really kind of kicked him in the shins. So maybe we'll be able to find a balance here.
I think we will. And, you know, I still think, as Chris said, you know, the strategies that played out, correct me if I'm wrong, were you not surprised, Chris, when Kyle Busch stayed out when everybody else came in late? I thought he was going to come to pit road. Really?
No. He had nothing to lose and everything to gain. I think if Kyle Busch figured if he pitted, he was probably going to be in a hornet's nest on that restart. And the best thing for him was to be as far ahead of the field as he possibly could, and that's exactly what he was. He put himself by pitting early, they knew they were taking a gamble, and the gamble worked off, and they knew that if the caution came out, their best goal, in my opinion, was to stay out on the racetrack, and it worked out perfectly for Kyle Busch.
No doubt about that. I just, like I said, I was watching all the cars, and, you know, there was only a few that stayed out there, and I was typing, and I'm like, wait, who stayed out? And
I
would have thought he would have gone with, I would really thought he would have gone to pit road, even though he'd already pitted.
I don't think tires were helpful on Sunday, but I don't think that they were as crucial as some of the other road courses that we go to.
Yeah, at that point, track position was key.
Yes.
And he had it. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at the standings and see who really needs some help as we go into the short track portion of our schedule. Stay with us.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max, for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store.
It's a Lone Star tradition. A race weekend featuring the NTT IndyCar and NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series April 1st and 2nd. Lone Star Bedlam erupts Saturday as veteran Truck Series driver Matt Crafton leads the pack in the SpeedyCash.com 250. Then it's the can't-miss 220-mile-per-hour Lone Star Battle Sunday featuring Joseph Newgarden, Pato O'Ward, and more. Go to TexasMotorSpeedway.com for tickets. Parking is free, and you can bring a cooler.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. Whether it was the excitement of her championship at the track her grandparents helped build, the loneliness of his first win without his father there to hug him in victory lane, or the track their mama warned them about, PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's baddest bull rings. PRN's At the Track, relentless passion for grassroots racing.
You think of all the things that really just in the last 25 years have happened, the champions that we've seen. That's what I think is really cool about it.
I just believe the addition of Kyle Busch to RCR and what I saw at the tail end of last year, I think Austin Dillon could win three or four races this year.
When I think of somebody that's a mortal lock, I think of somebody that has great consistency. And there are only four drivers right now that have been in five championship four playoff races.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Well, if you purchase a new wiper blade from O'Reilly Auto Parts, they will install them for free. See better, drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by today or learn more at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Brett, are those the same wipers that those cup guys have on their car on Sunday?
They didn't have. They had the housing, but not the wipers.
Did you notice that they're decorated now too?
Are they decorating them now?
Yeah, of course they are. You got to get those partners on some TV coverage. Kudos.
By the way, O'Reilly's, I need some windshield wipers for my car.
Of course he does.
Just saying.
Of course he
mine
does.
Are bad.
Of course he
mine
does.
Are bad. Mine are so bad.
points. I was looking at points during the break, like. Man, there's some guys in trouble. I mean, we'll find out a lot this week what happens with the Hendrick appeal, right?
Yeah.
And I think that will throw into we'll throw the points into complete mayhem again.
Here's the whole thing about the Hendrick thing that I think a lot of folks are missing, because I keep hearing a lot of, William Byron doesn't need to worry about anything because he's got those two wins. And let me tell you where regardless of what happens has happened with the appeal, here's where that 10 points gets you.
Yeah.
And the 100 points get you. Let's say it stands or whatever has happened on this thing, because some folks are going to listen to this after the appeal has been heard. Let's say Byron was going to finish in the top, say maybe second or third in points. If he ends up with enough penalized points for the regular season, he loses, in addition to whatever the penalty is, another 8 points, 10 points. And that's going to be huge when you get to, say, the round of eight in the playoffs.
I mean, to already have lost 10 playoff points, that's tough to swallow. I don't care if it's the second race of the season or to the 26th race of the season, because how many times again and again have we seen in the playoffs where making that next round comes down to 1 point, 2 points, maybe 3 points? If William Byron knows, like, if he misses something by 11 points or even 10 points, I mean, how hard is it going to be difficult for the Hendrick team to swallow, knowing that they, you know, if the penalties stand this week and we get into the playoffs and those 10 playoff points wind up making a difference on how far they advance, that's going to be tough for that team to swallow.
Yeah. So, and like I said, some folks are going to hear this show or listen to this mm-hmm. show after the decision's been made. We're obviously recording it before the decision's made, so we don't know what has come. My gut feeling is that Hendrick expects some of the penalty to uphold because he's already had his crew chief sit out for two races.
Right.
Well, I think that was the least penalized that they could be. Okay. Where we were going, those two races, it was, a speedway, super speedway with Atlanta, and then a road course. It's pretty much you know what you got. You can call it from remotely from the war room back at the office. And I have a feeling I was asked about this in an interview about this over the weekend. I don't think 100% of these penalties stand up. I think there's a 70-30 chance in Hendricks' favor that the penalties will be reduced or outright rescinded, because to hear Jeff Gordon talk about it, they've got a paper trail, and even NASCAR admits that they give the teams and gave the teams the permission to alter this you know, louver here. And so what are we talking about? If you've been asking NASCAR and you voluntarily bring your car to a non-penalty inspection before you get on the track and you get busted for it, that seems, you know, that seems a little too far for me. And I think the judges, I think the panel is going to look at that and say, no, NASCAR, you did this the wrong way. And it's a good try, but, you know, go back and let's do it right the next time. I do find that it's interesting. You know, last year NASCAR changed the rules that they have their own advocate in the appeal. And that's something that they've never had before. So that takes the odds down. I would have put my odds at 80-20 in Hendrick's favor had it not been for NASCAR having their advocate in there arguing on their behalf in this situation.
Well, I tell you, as we look at this and taking Hendrick out of the equation, I think Stuart Haas is still having some problems. I mean, outside of Kevin Harvick, who's having another Kevin Harvick type year and is running better than I think he did at this point a year ago.
23rd.
Yeah.
28th and 29th.
And man, Chase Briscoe said this weekend, we just haven't had speed.
Yeah.
And then you've got Almirola again. And Eric Almirola is just not very good on road courses. He wasn't good in the Xfinity race. He wasn't good in the Cup race.
Yeah. Well, he was pretty decent in the Xfinity race. So he got spun out, but yeah, like we all know that road courses aren't his game, but still that 10 team has not, I don't think, lived up to the hype that they were hoping that they could to start the season. Look, make no mistake about it, Stuart Haas has struggled. The other one that is struggling right now is Bubba Wallace, and I knew he threw a bunch of pressure on himself again on Sunday afternoon, but he's got to get on the train here pretty soon because his teammate's already in the playoffs and he's on the outside looking in. And what I worry about Bubba is he put so much pressure on himself, and I'm wondering, because Tyler's running so well right now, is he putting so much pressure on himself that he's forcing himself into these mistakes? And sometimes that can be a huge cycle that continues to – that could either correct itself or spiral out of control. So we'll see.
All right, who do you think needs to really kind of refocus, Jerry, and get things turned around in the right direction?
Well, I agree with Chris on Bubba Wallace, and that's part of that is, you know, the fact that, I mean, the way he's had some really awkward crashes, and like the one, you know, he wrecked out himself at Atlanta, the issue at COTA, overshooting turn one. I mean, I don't know what broke or if it was a driver error or what happened, but you know, when I talked to Bubba earlier in the weekend, he was talking about the pressure that he does put on himself. He does feel like he's got a shot to come through with a possible win at Kansas. And that's, you know, that's where you got to win, you know, last time, but it's going to be interesting to see. As far as you mentioned, Eric Almirola, I don't know. It's not just an Eric Almirola thing, as in Cindric talking about, Briscoe talking about being slow. Harvick ain't happy either. You know, and to be where he's at in points and to have bad luck, to the whole organization to be slow, it's just, it's not something we're used to. And I don't see any of the other teams. There's a lot of teams other than Hendrick, a lot of drivers individually that you would think that they would be higher, and they're not.
But Brett, I do want to give some kudos here, though. As much as we're talking about guys who need to improve, the guys that really impressed me the most through the first six races or so is Corey LaJoie still finds himself in a position to be in a playoff spot. He's on the inside, just barely hanging above the bubble line, but 11th place finish. Corey LaJoie and that Spire Motorsports team are on something right now, and I think it's going to be a benefit to him going to Richmond, where it's another short track, and I think Corey LaJoie can do a great job. And then I think even Stenhouse, he got his first top 10 finish on a road course in over 20 starts. And for him, you know, they had an awful day Sunday going too, and then they were able to rebound and chaos ensued, and they were able to come out on the right end of the stick. But for Stenhouse and that 47 JTG Jordy team, for them to be able to keep some consistency since winning the Daytona 500, and then for them to be solidly inside the top 16. I think those are two teams that stand out in my mind that deserve a pat on the back because they're doing a great job.
All right, when we come back, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, Noah Gragson is another one of those guys out there that we talked to, and he said it's a struggle for him to finish 27th, and that's a quote. So they've got to pick it up over at Legacy as well. That seems to be one of the similar to what Eric Jones said is along the same lines. They're having problems making speed, but when we come back after your break, I want to talk about Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez as well, because I think they've got some internal problems that could lead to disaster later on.
All right, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Roush Fenway Keselowski, as these guys really do seem to have that steamship turned in the proper direction and going forward, and could be knocking on the door getting another win. They got one late last year at Bristol. Now they may be getting a few here coming up soon. Stay with us.
Are you or someone you love struggling with an addiction to drugs or alcohol and want to be set free from the chains of addiction? Then call Addiction Helpline America right now to get the help you need. From drug and alcohol addiction to dual diagnosis treatment, we provide a confidential helpline to help people like you get sober and live happy, substance-free lives.
Treatment helped me get my life back. I was so addicted, the only person I could focus on was myself and what I needed. I hit rock bottom and lost everything. Through treatment, I was able to overcome those demons and focus on my family again.
I used until I overdosed and almost died. That was the end of the road for me. After seeking treatment, I now have hope. I learned skills that help me deal with life on life's terms.
800-646-4407. 800-646-4407. 800-646-4407. That's 800-646-4407.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Kathy Martindale and Paul Shad on ZMAX Racing Country Classic.
Hey, we're back. Come on to Nashville. It's Kathy and Vince Gill.
Who do you find it hardest to keep up with, musicianship-wise?
I just feel like an adequate guitar player compared to some of the people that I just love and admire and really think are spectacular. The majority of the people that I learned to play the instrument from are still around.
ZMAX Racing Country Classic.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jerry Jordan from KickingTheTires.net, Chris Knight from CatchFence.com, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Jerry, you teed it up going into the break. You want to get on the Trackhouse bandwagon the Trackhouse anti-bandwagon.
mi amigo Daniel Suarez, and that's the extent of my Spanish, as he knows. He is unhappy, bad unhappy with his teammate Ross Chastain. And the problem with that is Ross Chastain appears oblivious to the fact that he beat the crap out of his teammate on the track and knocked him out of the way. There was a point in that race that I really thought they were just going to wreck each other. And this is something that those guys are going to have to solve because, Ross has got his reputation. Daniel, not so much, but he is muy caliente right now.
Oh, you knew more Spanish than you thought.
I know. I pulled that one out right at the last minute.
Does that mean all high and mighty in Spanish? I mean,
very hot. Very hot.
I mean, look, was there an issue on Sunday? Yes, there was an issue on Sunday. But watch us team don't care if it's his teammate or his mother that he's getting past the behind the wheel. I mean, he's a racer, right? He's going to go for every position he can. He realized what's at stake. That level of aggression, while I feel that Ross Chastain can put himself in some very precarious positions sometimes, that aggression is what propelled him into the championship four last year. So I don't expect Ross Chastain to change anytime soon, and he's not going to change. Will he and Daniel Suarez get things cleaned up? Absolutely. Now, on the flip side of it, Daniel Suarez himself could be finding his pockets a little less this week for his shenanigans post-race. While I understand his level of frustration because he had a strong car and was in the top 10 for majority of the race, it's no excuse to be playing bumper cars, especially coming on to pit road where there's officials and crew members and media. I just think that, you know, we're lucky that nothing happened, but it's definitely a dangerous place to be. But I understand Daniel Suarez's aggravation and being upset because he looked assured another top 10 finish and it didn't work out. But I think it was a heat of the moment thing. I think things will calm down, and knowing Daniel Suarez, he'll go back to Richmond Wayshire this weekend, and it'll be nothing but smiles on his face.
Well, the thing is, in those situations, this whole thing, as we all saw going into turn one, you know, it becomes this six-wide thing, and it became bumper cars and stacking up and everything with accordion. So, I mean, did Ross hit him? Yeah, but was Ross pushed into him? I mean, I haven't gone back and looked at the replay, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, I know on Suarez's radio, the spotters were saying, well, he kind of got, you know, he really got pushed into him and just accordioned up. So, Jerry, does that help smooth things over? I mean, hey, look, I don't know. You tell me.
It might if that was the only time it happened, but it didn't just happen in turn one. It happened, you know, going, you know, up past the S's, you know, and it's, I think it was in turn, you know, the U-turn at turn 11 as well. There were several other times that they made contact around the track. And he, like I said, Daniel was not a very happy camper. Of course, Daniel wasn't happy with Alex Bowman, and they made up after the race because Bowman went over there and said, look, here's a video, you know. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be going into Richmond at a short track knowing that I had a big target on my back, because you might not finish the race, as we've seen that happen through the years. I didn't hear of any potential penalty for Daniel, but, you know, you never know what NASCAR is going to pull out of their hat.
Well, and the thing is, the one thing Justin Marks has done that so far that's impressed me, he's got a different mindset going to track house. Yep. Everybody has been pulling in the same direction thus far. Yeah, is this going to happen occasionally? Yes, yeah, it is. But I kind of trust in what I've seen so far that he's going to be able to, without milk and cookies a la Rick Hendrick, yep. He may be able, I think he'll smooth this over.
Yes, I think so, absolutely. I think that these three, you know, They're racers. All three of them are racers, right? They understand that things aren't always going to go their way. And like I said, you know, Suarez had every right to be aggressive, be upset, or very upset as he was on Sunday. But Daniel Suarez wasn't the cleanest driver either himself on Sunday. So I think if you ask every, you know, if we go through that, I think every driver was bumping into each other at some point during that race. And unfortunately for Daniel Suarez, who wound up being his teammate, being the most aggressive guy, that put him in a bad position. But ultimately, at the end of the day, this is going to be a non-story, and those guys will continue to march on.
All right. Real quickly, Jerry, wanted to talk about RFK Racing. You know, right now, Brad Keselowski sitting ninth in points. Chris Buescher sitting 13th in points. So here, two guys having decent seasons to this point. They've been running in the top 10. This seems to be the result of, you know, a year plus effort of getting things turned around for Keselowski, and it seems to be working.
Yeah, I asked Brad Keselowski about his, you know, thoughts on where the team's at and if this was the turnaround that he expected. It's obviously, in my opinion, not a turning on a dime, but maybe turning on a dollar, so to speak, with a more of an arc. But the truth is, you know, he's happy, but he still isn't happy enough, in his words, and wants to see more, you know, of what they've, you know, what he thinks that they can do, because he knows there's better speed in the car and there's better things, you know, there's more stuff they can do on pit road. But this is a definite good start, especially when people, you know, anytime a driver comes on, people think, oh, Brad Keselowski went to, you know, Roush Fenway Racing, and now it's Roush Fenway Keselowski. They're going to be so great. Well, it's going to take time, just like Jimmy Johnson coming to, you know, to Petty, and now it being, you know, Legacy. It's going to take time before those changes and that input and that mindset takes effect. And I think we're, you know, obviously we're in year two, but I think we are going to see them continue to build, and I think we're going to see them get back to a strong top 10 running team on a weekly basis before it's over with.
I think that RFK is definitely turning the needle, turning a point in the direction. I'm not quick to say that it's until I see them doing it on a weekly basis. I think one thing that we saw with RFK, Atlanta, take Atlanta out of the picture, right? They had speed, but they weren't able to turn that speed into actual good finishes, right? We've seen them be up front during stage one and stage two, but when it counted most at stage three, we saw the cars level off and then fall back a little bit. So while I think the tide is turning with RFK, I still want, before I say, I dive right in and say, yes, this is the old Roush Fenway Racing days, I still need to see a little bit more, and it'll be curious to me and something that I'll be keeping my eye on to see if RFK can continue to move that needle as we get dive deeper into the season and as we approach the playoffs.
Before we talk about Richmond, I want to remind you that we have our O'Reilly Pit Reporters poll each week. And this week's question is, who is the best road racer in NASCAR right now? Is it Allmendinger, William Byron, Chase Elliott, or Tyler Reddick? Last week we asked you, what do you think of the new Atlanta now? And that's last week's question. Oh, a week ago, last week's question. So this, the question was, what do you think of the new Atlanta now? And we've got, this surprises me, 46% said bring the old Atlanta back. Are you kidding me? 35% said I've liked it better all along. 13% said I still want to see a larger sample size. And 7% said it's really growing on me. Interesting.
You know what I figured out? That it doesn't matter what NASCAR does, there's still going to be a group of fans, a very vocal group of fans out there that complain a lot.
What is it our friend Tom Jensen often says? There's only two things NASCAR fans don't like: change and the way things are. Exactly. We'll talk about Richmond when we come back.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, C-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want C-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with C-Max.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side, they get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit goprn.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back, along with Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and also Jerry Jordan from KickingTheTires.net. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Richmond this week starts three straight weeks on the short tracks. Of course, one of them's got dirt on it in between.
Yeah.
And they won't be calling cautions to wipe the dirt
that's
off.
That's right, that's right.
So
they might if think? It rains, though.
They will if it rains. The thing is, this is going to be the third race that we're going to see this new lower downforce package. We saw it at Phoenix. I think COTA is kind of the outlier in there because I don't know what we can tell from COTA. What do you think have we seen enough to know what we're going to see?
No, I don't think we've seen enough, but I'm optimistic. I haven't seen what I've been looking for out of Richmond in the last couple of years. I've seen hit or misses of it, and I'm praying that we see a good show on Sunday afternoon for the fans at Richmond, because I think I love going to Richmond. I think it's a great facility. They do a great job there, and we've seen it. It's going to be very cool on Sunday compared to what we normally expect when we go to Richmond in the spring. So usually it's usually the first hot summer day, or, you know, late spring, early summer day, and it's not going to be that. It's going to be the complete opposite. So I'm very highly optimistic, and just hope that we have a good show for the fans and the drivers get up on the wheel.
Have you seen enough of the low downforce package, Jerry, to have a feel for what we're going to see?
I haven't, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm expecting Richmond to knock a home run out of the park, to use some baseball terms here, but a stand-up triple coming out of that race would mean a lot to me. You know, I want to see them get in there, and the cars are going to be slick and hard to handle. Even if it's a little cool, kudos to Chris for doing the weather report already. I hadn't looked to see. That's always my biggest fear when I fly out to a race, is how long I'm going to be there. So the fact that it's going to be cool, that make it a little bit more interesting as to whether or not this low downforce package will work. But I think by the time we get through Martinsville, we'll see what we need to see, whether or not. I think we're going in the right direction. Again, this is what the drivers wanted, and NASCAR's listening to them, and I think this is a step in the right direction. Let's see how many more steps we can take, or if we need to, once we get away from Richmond.
The feedback from the drivers, and they opened up pretty good about it at Circuit of the Americas, is that they all felt like we were going in the right direction, right? We were making progress. Some weren't sure that we were making enough progress. Some felt like that we were taking baby steps, and some felt like that we were going – you know, that we're running in tone with the things. So it's going to be interesting to see. And most seem optimistic about Richmond, but most felt like we were going to Martinsville, which we really feel like that the Cup Series, or all the series in general, need to put on a good show there. They were really optimistic and felt like that we were going to take some major steps at Martinsville in a couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to the month of April, Brett, because I feel like between Richmond, the dirt, Martinsville, Talladega, Dover, we get a little bit of everything except a big mile and a half, and then we'll have that the first week of May at Kansas Speedway. So I look forward to the month of April, because I feel like we get a little bit of everything during the month of April.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you, both you guys. I mean, Richmond has really disappointed the last 2 years. There's not been a lot to get excited about at Richmond, and that's something that I don't think we've been used to in for years, to have
Sucks.
Richmond. Yeah, just not be good. And I'm hopeful that this new package kind of lends itself to something exciting and some great racing, some even better finishes, Jerry.
Yeah, I do. I like Richmond. I've been to many of them. It's been a couple of years, but I went to, I think, a string of about 20 or so in a row. And I love the track and what they've done to change the facility and upgrade it. And you know, they've done a whole lot for the fan experience. Now we need to get the race experience right. And look, it doesn't have to be perfect. NASCAR fans, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, they don't ever seem to be happy. But please, at least give this a chance to see where we're at. It may not be the end all be all this weekend. I don't expect it will be, but I think that this is the direction we need to go, the changes we need to make, and we need to improve. Now that we've improved the fan experience at Richmond, let's improve the race experience, and this is a start.
Give us something to talk about rather than the lack of racing or the lack of what we didn't see at Richmond. I'm hoping that we will see. We're talking about the actual racing, or what went on during the race instead of what didn't happen in the race, and that's what I'm hopeful for this weekend.
Yeah, something besides, wow, strategically, it was a great race.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. When we come back, white flag laps.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-402-7119. 800-402-7119. 800-402-7119. That's 800-402-7119.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is PRN's Brett McMillan. You know, you don't spend your life just sitting around, so what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. If you download it today, you get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today. Available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
This car puts on really good shows at, you know, mile and a half to 2 mile tracks, and I expect nothing less.
Obviously, it's not the spot we want to be in. We'd love to have a win by now and feel like we should have, but it's just been one of those seasons where when we have cars good enough to win, we haven't done all the other things right.
I feel like it's going to be an opportunity to win, and feel like, you know, it's an opportunity to win at home as well. So I want to take advantage of both of those things.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from KickingTheTires.net, it's Jerry Jordan.
TV ratings. I am tired of fans just going ballistic over what the numbers are each week, up, down. Look, sports as a whole, ratings are down. TV as a whole, ratings are down. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if for to a fan as to whether or not the ratings are up or down. It matters to NASCAR. It matters to the sponsors. It matters to the teams. It matters to the networks. But it doesn't matter to the fan. If you are watching TV and you watch the race this weekend at Circuit of the Americas, great. How does it affect you if somebody else didn't? It didn't impact your experience at all. So why are we on Twitter? Why are we on social media saying, oh my God, the sport is dying? That's not what this is. There's way more numbers involved here, including streaming and illegal streams and, you know, people that are, you know, watching. I get frustrated to the point of being speechless because I don't understand why people worry about what the TV ratings are every single week with this sport.
It takes a lot to get Jerry speechless, too.
Yeah, very true.
We appreciate that. Good. Well said, Jerry. Next up from Kicking the Tires. No, that's Jerry from CatchFence.com, Chris Knight.
I just want to real quick give some kudos to Trackhouse Racing and Justin Marks with their Project 91 initiative. I think Justin Marks and his whole concept that him and Pitbull are building for at Trackhouse and what they've done, they need to do. The other teams need to eventually fall in line. And I think we're starting to see Rick Ware Racing and Stuart Haas is a perfect example with Jensen Button going outside the circle. And I think Justin Marks and his whole group has set the tone on what teams are going to need to do in the future, not only on the track, but off the track of what they need to do as far as a business model to make sure that these cup teams stay relevant and thriving and bring new partners in and new initiatives in like Project 91. So I just wanted to give Justin Marks and that team huge kudos because what they've done is propelling other teams to do similar things.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. How many times have you heard the phrase, it's not supposed to be easy? Well, I think it's been proven time and time again that driving a stock car is anything but easy. Just ask the drivers who drop in from other series and try to wheel around these behemoths. At COTA, we had two Formula One champs and an IMSA champ, and they had various levels of success before the mayhem with multiple overtime restarts. Think of how many open-wheel drivers have tried to come to NASCAR in recent years and how many of them have had any measure of great success. Well, that list is not very long. It is tough. It's supposed to be. So instead of criticizing what you're seeing every week, why not take some time to appreciate it instead? It looks easy because they're good.
Good job, Jordan.
Chris, Jerry, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.